Hello. All right, we have just a couple announcements this morning. First of all, please join us next Sunday after the worship service for a volunteer appreciation reception to recognize the many volunteers who make LCUUC the vibrant community that it is. Second, today's service is intergenerational, so all children will be staying throughout the entire service. If there's a need for childcare, the nursery is through those doors and to the right a little bit. That is all the announcements we have. So, opening words come from Charles M. Schultz, The Complete Peanuts, Volume 16, 1981 to 1982. Lucy begins. Life, Charlie Brown, is like a deck chair. Like a what? Have you ever been on a cruise ship? Passengers open up these canvas deck chairs so that they can sit in the sun. Some people place their chairs facing the rear of the ship so they can see where they've been. Other people face their chairs forward. They want to see where they're going. On the cruise ship of life, Charlie Brown, which way is your deck chair facing? To which Charlie Brown replies, I've never been able to get one unfolded. Please take a moment to greet those around you.
Our chalice lighting words today are, we light this chalice as a beacon of hope for our future, for believing in ourselves and each other, that together we have the strength to make a difference in our world. Our opening hymn today is number 1064 in the teal book, Blue Boat Home. Please rise in body or spirit and join us in singing this hymn.
Thank you.
Welcome to Lake Country Unitarian Universalist Church. At LCUUC, we strive to surround this community with the spirit of love in everything we do. My name is Abby Lewis, and I'm the worship associate for this morning's service. As a welcoming congregation, we hope that all visitors, friends, and members, wherever they are on life's journey, and whatever their backgrounds, will find a lasting home here. Whether you identify as a jet or a shark, you are welcome here. Whether you wear flannel or denim, Chucks or Jordans, you're welcome here. Whether you got up this morning using coffee or tea, you are welcome here. Whether you read treble or bass clef, you are welcome here. Whether you're the sort of person who would write their faith statement last night or this morning, you are welcome here. Please join us for refreshments and conversation in our social hall after the service, and while you're there, stop by the welcome table to find out more about LCUUC. Today's order of service includes announcements of upcoming church events, and we look forward to everyone joining in. Please take a moment at this point in the service to silence all electronics you may have here with you today. And again, welcome to all here this morning. We are so pleased that you have chosen to celebrate and worship with us.
Good morning. Who here has been through a major life transition? Anyone? Yeah, I figured. During that time, did anyone come up to you and say, "Hey, I know you're going through a major life transition. I've got some things that might help. Would you like to get together with others who have been through a similar transition? They might have some suggestions for you. Would you like to get together with others who are going through the very same thing right now? Then you know you're not alone. You want a mentor to help you through? How about meeting with our minister for support? Or engaging in spiritual practices and service projects with others to help you through? What a gift that would be if someone offered us those things when we're going through a major life transition. Well, that's the gift we gave our senior transition, our seniors this year, our senior transition program. We offered this to our seven seniors last summer. It's an independent, optional program that helps them navigate their transition from high school to young adulthood. And this service is the culmination of that program. Have you noticed that whenever you go through a transition, you tend to ask yourself a lot of questions? What do I believe? What's important to me? What gives my life purpose and meaning? What do I want to do with my life from here on out? Paul Simon, in his song, "How Can You Live in the Northeast," which a few of our seniors will sing today, poses many such questions, and I'm going to paraphrase it a bit. He asks us, how can you live in the Midwest? How can you be a UU? How can you eat with a fork and a knife when the holy man only breaks bread? It's helpful to have at least some idea of how to answer questions like these during a transition, because these answers help to create a foundation on which we can stand as we move forward, making choices and decisions. Of course, answers aren't written in stone, as we all know. We're all well informed by our UU principle that reminds us of the importance of a free and responsible and ongoing search for truth and meaning. Good thing that our religious education program here encourages our children to ask questions. UUs are not known for handing out too many answers, though we do have a few handouts, seven to be exact, our seven principles, which I'm sure we've all memorized, share them with you today. Actually, they're written on our on the beams, you know, in the church here. These principles certainly provide some foundation, yet each of these seniors in their own way will have to live out our principles and make them their own. Who are our seniors? On a global level, they are one of the first generation to leave the millennial generation, and they're yet to be named officially, though it's looking like their generational name will allude to the fact that they're the first to know something, to know more about something that's important than their parents do, that is technology, as they are digital natives, and we all are digital immigrants. They might be called the I generation. I standing for internet, for interactive, for engaged. No, that wouldn't be engaged. Maybe integrated. Engaged starts with the E. Integrated. On a more personal level, these seniors are first and foremost an amazing group of human beings. Sarah Stout, William Esty, Maya Sandin, Ingrid Tim, Jessica Kennedy, Abigail Lewis, and Alexis Vargas. Many of them have grown up here at church. Both Maya and Abby have been with us since they were just 3 years old, and most of the others were not far behind. Turns out that Maya and Abby are also the ones in this group to be the first to leave their family's nest. All the families are going through a transition as well, and I thought about, well, that's another thing we can offer here, maybe a transition program for all the families and parents. I'm sure most of us have experienced these seniors' energy and talents, as this is a group that has not exactly kept to themselves. We will definitely miss their presence next year. If you've been to a Valentine dinner here at church, you've been treated to their wonderful cooking, their singing, and their music. If you've been to Sunday services, you've heard many of them play their instruments and sing for us, solos, duets, in the choir. I think there's enough musical talent in this group to fill Carnegie Hall. If you've been to church retreats and campouts and special events, you've played with them, you've learned with them. If you chaperoned youth cons or service projects to New Orleans or the Minnesota Farm, Repairs of the Breach, the Catholic Workers Home, you've worked beside them. And wasn't it Abby, as a young girl, who assumed that our name, L-C-U-U-C, was a word and not an acronym? And she pronounced it LaCooks, which has become our official group email name. Thanks, Abby. In spite of the fact that these seniors have gone to six different high schools, they have developed strong bonds here at church. And they encourage each other on. As a living example, Alexis had decided not to participate in the full-fledged transition, but because her peers asked her to come up and share a statement, she's doing that with us today. I'd like to share a few comments from their mentors that will help us understand who these seniors are. Chris White is amazed at how willing Sarah is to interact with people of all ages. And Chris believes that her experience mentoring Sarah is just the beginning of a long friendship. If you can play ukulele with someone, I'm guessing you can do just about anything together. Laura Levenhay and Jessica spend time engaged in spiritual practices, including yoga, Nia dance, and kirtan. And Laura finds Jessica to be soul-directed, self-aware, expansive, open and loving, and creative. Be sure to look at the cover of the Order of Service. It is Jessica's photograph on the cover. Kim Sewer describes Abby as a dynamo who thrives on all things creative. She has come full circle with Abby, working with her in a writing camp when she was just 7 years old, to now reading and responding to her college essays. Kim was brought to tears watching Abby play Helen Keller in The Miracle Worker. Phil Smith has been Will's religious education and OWL teacher and now his mentor, and has experienced Will's maturation. Phil describes Will as a very insightful, energetic young man who has well thought out opinions and is not afraid to share them on or off stage. I believe these two are quite a pair, and where there's a Phil and a Will, there's a way. Terry Copeland has spent time with Maya not only as her mentor, but throughout her high school years, as she taught OWL, which is our Whole Lives Human Sexuality program. Terry reflects on how Maya has matured at an early age, is multi-layered, self-directed, and has many passions. Whether it's the rights of women, Black Lives Matter, or understanding her inner self, Maya is compassionate and engaged. Kristen Sandin describes Ingrid as a positive, kind, grateful young woman who loves to travel and is adventuresome. It's her National Geographic atlas there and her purse from a chocolate farm in Costa Rica that never leaves her side. Some of their time together was spent helping with our new sanctuary remodel and attending an RE committee meeting. And Alexis, though she opted not to have a mentor, has participated in Sunday religious education classes and the OWL program. Phil reflected on how comfortable Alexis has been to share herself and her ideas. Feeling comfortable enough to do a tergite during a break at an OWL session. And I think that just about says it all. Those are her toe shoes there. So now I would like to have us, I'm going to lead us through a short guided reflection, which will include lyrics from all the songs that these seniors have chosen to share with us today. And you may want to close your eyes for this. And I'd like you all just to take a few deep breaths. And I'm going to run and get the rest of my notes. Okay, let's take a deep breath. And again, if you want to close your eyes for this, go ahead. Let's imagine us holding these seniors for one moment more. Hold them close before they soar. Hold them together in this wonderful space of community. Let's imagine them when they were the little ones who ran up to hear the story for all ages, who carried the candle that was lit from our chalice to their classrooms, who shared their joys and concerns during our intergenerational services, who have been changed because they knew us, like a comet pulled from orbit as it passes the sun, like a stream that meets a boulder halfway through the wood. They have been changed for good. Because they knew us. These seniors who give thanks to the waves upholding them, who hail the great winds urging them on, who lean over the edge in wonder, casting questions into the deep. The wide universe is the ocean they travel, and this earth is their blue boat home. Remember them as the seeds in the little paper cup. First the root grows down, and then the plant grows up. Take one more deep breath and send positive energy to this group of seniors as they navigate through their transition. So I just want to spend one more minute before the seniors come up thinking about that major transition that we all have been through. What if someone asked you to reflect on what you believe in as you go through the transition and then stand up here and share your beliefs with us? I'm guessing some, if not all of us, would think twice about doing this. It's not an easy thing to do. Yet here are seniors willing to share their reflections and their voices and their music with us today as they go through their transition to adulthood. Listen carefully as they have a lot to offer. And thank you, seniors, for sharing yourselves with us. It's really a priceless gift and one that many of us have looked forward to all year. Thank you.
All right, so if any children or children of all ages, as the name suggests, would like to come down and hear a little story, slash song, slash et cetera, et cetera. Don't all rush down at once now. So, how many of us here are at least 5 years old. At least 4 years old. 3 years old? Wow, okay, we've got some pretty young kids. So this is a song that I've known pretty much my entire life, thanks to my father being one of the most, I want to say annoyingly musical, but like, and he was constantly playing, and this is one of the songs that I heard most often, and he's played it for a bunch of people, and the story behind it is pretty much like this. Started off as the person who wrote this, just kind of wrote it for fun, and then came back one day and found the entire world had kind of adopted this as the unofficial anthem for finishing kindergarten and going into first grade, second grade, etc. And what it does is it just asks us to kind of remember back to the basics, the first things we learned when we were wee little children of yay height or smaller, and just kind of reflect on that. So we'll just go with it. When I was a little kid, not so long ago, I had to learn a lot of things I didn't even know. How to dress myself and tie my shoes, and how to skip a rope. How to smile for a picture without looking like a dope. But of all the things they taught me, my favorite of them all was the little poem hanging on the kindergarten wall. These are in your order of service if you want to join in. Of all you learn here, remember this the best. Don't hurt each other and clean up your mess. Take a nap every day, wash before you eat. Hold hands, stick together, look before you cross the street. And remember the seed in the little paper cup. First the root goes down and then the plant grows up. Doodly-doop-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-do
grade, fourth grade too. I had to learn the big things that big people do. How to add, subtract, and multiply, and read and write and play. How to sit in a little uncomfortable desk for nearly half a day. But of all the things they taught me, my favorite of them all was the little poem hanging on the kindergarten wall. Okay, you've had some practice now, so let's hear it. Of all you learn here, remember this the best. Don't hurt each other and clean up your mess. Take a nap every day, wash before you eat. Hold hands, stick together, look before you cross the street. And remember the seed in the little paper cup. First the root goes down and then the plant grows up. Doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo. That part's optional, I mean. Well, lately I've been worried as I look around and see an awful lot of grown-ups acting silly as can be. I know that there are lots of things I haven't mastered yet, but it seems there's real important stuff that grown-ups soon forget. And I think we'd all be better off if we would just recall that little poem hanging on the kindergarten wall. Of all you learn here, remember this the best. Don't hurt each other and clean up your mess. Take a nap every day, wash before you eat. Hold hands, stick together, look before you cross the street. And remember the seed in the little paper cup. First the root goes down and then the plant grows up. Doodle-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo. Okay, so I see a lot of people that aren't singing, and I'm just going to let you know, I have lungs of steel. I can keep this going as long as I want to. I mean, like, you think, like, a two-hour service is bad? Wait till you give a musician more time to keep playing. Okay, so one more time. Of all you learn here, remember this the best. Don't hurt each other and clean up your mess. take a nap every day. Wash before you eat, hold hands, stick together, look before you cross the street. And remember the seed in the little paper cup. First the root goes down and then the plant grows up. Doodly-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo.
The morning offering will now be given and received. May your monetary gifts be given in the spirit of the high school youth and the positive difference we have made and will continue to make in our world. Our thanks for these gifts given and received for the work of this community. We light this candle for the joys and sorrows which we hold deeply today. I know what I believe. Beliefs, however, are ever-changing and forever being called into question. In recent years, I've held on to the same feeling, that I knew what I believed, but I didn't know how to put it into words. The easiest way I could think of was to create a list of hypothetical situations and state what my actions or beliefs would be in each particular situation, and lucky for you, I've moved past that mindset a little, and have not, in fact, compiled a 3-page bulleted list of hypothetical, morally questionable situations. However, the feeling is still there. It started a while ago when we started doing Socrates Cafes in Ari, in which we simply discuss a certain topic for the duration of class, agreeing, disagreeing, playing devil's advocate. I realized during one of these discussions that as soon as someone made a comment about something, I had two reactions. The first was something along the lines of, oh, I understand completely what you're saying. We are on the same page. And the second was some extension of, yeah, I've just now processed what you said and I have some revisions for you. This was pretty confusing at the time until I placed what I was feeling. I realized that I was able to see other people's perspectives pretty easily, so deciding my own beliefs just got a little bit harder. This is something I've struggled with for a while now, not in terms of expelling this feeling or becoming more concrete in my own views, simply in terms of being able to take these in and let them reflect upon my own views without confusing myself. Over the past year, I've been able to do this better. This may or may not be due to the mindset that I suddenly had a deadline for clarifying my beliefs. So now I'm going to tell you what I believe. I decided to start at the source and take one of those what religion do you belong in quizzes. Big surprise, and a few of my classmates might attest to this as well. My top hit, 100% match, was Unitarian Universalism. I was a little disappointed, hoping I might get something new to work off of. But upon reconsideration, this says more than one might think. I believe that there are two parts to a belief system or a religion. The first is what you believe in your heart and soul, and the second is what you put into action. And these aren't necessarily separate, they're just two lists that could vary slightly. I'll give an example from my own belief system. I believe in our 7 UU principles, no question in my mind. But there are some things I believe that are not on that list of principles, such as not using the word hate or making sure everyone has a voice. What I believe that the religion quiz told me is that I've already found a religion that fits me perfectly, and now I have to put it into action, not only the 7 principles, but also any other beliefs I might have. Now, to list all my beliefs off would be ridiculous and useless. I don't even know what they all are at this point, and I'm fairly certain a few might change by the time I finish the list. I'm at a point in my life where suddenly I'm facing a lot of situations that call my beliefs into question, and sometimes I can take an action in that situation. So what I've realized that I need to solidify, and have solidified, is a core belief or a blanket reaction. No matter what the situation, I believe that everyone should be treated equally and with love. No matter what the situation, I believe everyone should have a voice. No matter what the situation, I believe everyone has a right to life, and no one has the inherent right to take that away from them. These may seem generic or possibly redundant, and they may be, but living by these three things is much harder than it may seem. What I've just said is that the serial killer deserves life, and the kid mocking someone else deserves to be heard, and the boy in my gym class that loves to use racist, sexist, and homophobic slurs and make suicide jokes deserves my love as much as my best friend. I'm still working on living by these. It's not easy, but this is what I believe, and this is what I stand by.
My faith is this, that inside this vessel called a body is held a light, which I like to call soul or spirit. And I am that light shining through this physical form. You can see this light in my eyes and feel it radiating when I am doing something I love. I feel empathy for all creatures because I realize that we are all connected at this soul level, one with the universe. I walk through life seeking to spread joy and acting out of love. I am not this identity, Jessica, that my ego has created, but I am the one watching her from deep inside, completely detached from the melodrama of society. All of the answers are here within. I am capable of all things because I am all things. Infinite possibilities and ideas, and I have the power to manifest what I need. I live in the present moment. The past cannot be changed. The future is an illusion. The only thing that is real, tangible, is right here and now, in this ever-changing present moment.
So I came here today with a couple of options in my head as to what I was going to do for my faith statement. And until about 15 minutes ago, I was dead set on this big speech about how I'm 18 and I can't make decisions about what my faith is because I haven't experienced the world enough, blah, 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 blah. And then I realized people don't actually like you when you're a sarcastic jerk about things. So we're going to go with another idea that is combining the less sarcastic parts of that and also another idea that I had beforehand about something, and I'll get to that later. So I'm just going to start with the things that I can say that I believe in. I believe that there exists something in this world that defies human understanding, or maybe that challenges us to understand it that much more. I believe that there is something more to people than just a billion years of random chance resulting in a bag of meat with enough design flaws to not even really be worth calling a rough draft. I believe that we are not wired to comprehend the infinite, and anyone claiming to do so is selling you something. I believe in the little things in life, because sometimes the big things just don't work out in your favor. I believe in not just being wrong, but boldly so. If you're going to be wrong anyways, do it in a way that people will remember you for. I believe in restless hunger. I believe in red balloons. I believe in private thunder. I believe in quoting song lyrics at people under the pretense of expressing personal emotions is a very thin line that you have to walk. I believe that everyone is the hero in their own story, and that supervillains only exist where we want them to. I believe that art is the pure form of communication and the closest that we will ever be able to come to recreating the human experience. I believe some of the most annoying people in the world are the ones who act like they're better than you simply because they believe in a different thing that happens to you when you die, with no real evidence to support either of your claims. And then, moving on to... jumping back, actually. So, I obviously don't know everything. And if you ask 5-year-old me, I did. And if you ask 10-year-old me, I kind of did. But nowadays, I know that I don't know everything, but I'm okay with that, at least for now. I'm okay with not knowing what God is and whether that's with a capital G, a plural, or even if there isn't any. I'm okay with not knowing whether humanity is good or evil or some combination of the two. I'm okay with having no idea whatsoever if there's an afterlife or not. I honestly think every possibility so far is actually equally ridiculous. It's either magic space wizards who don't have the best track record for how many times they've had to etch-a-sketch the world and start over, or everything that exists only exists because a random occurrence some billion years ago resulted in an increasingly unlikely chain of events that culminated in people arbitrarily wearing white coats while they shoot pieces of dust at other pieces of dust to see what pieces of dust come out of the explosion. So, now moving on to... an idea that I actually had a while ago, and I'm in a slam poetry team at my school, and I wrote this poem, coincidentally, not actually for a faith statement, but then people were like, oh, hey, you've got a faith statement to do, and I'm like, I already have one, so we're just going to go with that. So, this is Yahweh, Jehovah, and everything in between. I am four, and the name of God is Mother, because she always hugs me when I'm sad and makes me snacks in the afternoon. Her soft voice is like a church hymn that plays itself in my ears as I drift off to sleep. I am eight, and the name of God is Knowledge, because it tries to explain things, and anything that teaches me is worthy of my worship. I quote journals and articles as religious texts. I make test tubes my temples, classrooms my cathedrals, with theorems and properties playing in my head as I drift off to sleep every single night. I am 12, and the name of God is Silence, because it is the Sunday Mass I most often attend, and it seems to be everywhere I go. Its cold embrace is a confession box ever present, reminding me of my sins as I fall to sleep every night. I am 15, and the name of God is Love, because it feels like my Savior, reborn into this world to forgive my failures, pulling me back into divinity as I force myself awake so as to keep praying. I'm 16, and the name of God is self-loathing, because it is the voice I most often hear. It lingers on my shoulders, damning me to isolation, and is omnipresent as it counts my sins, saving them for the judgment at the holy gates that bar me from the relief of sleep. I am 18, and the name of God is pain, because its lessons are the ones I remember the most. The doctrines it preaches become dogmas that make me fear the ungodly wrath that may strike me down if I fail to recite its teachings every night as I pretend to sleep. I am 18, and the name of God is understanding, because it is what I strive to achieve. Its attempts at missionary journeys force me to travel into foreign comfort zones. It is the commandments I carve into my mind, echoing over and over until I can't tell the difference between being awake and asleep. I am 18, and the names of God are mother, knowledge, and silence. They are love and self-loathing, pain and understanding. They are my religion, my pantheon, my deities, my immortal idols. They are my rosary beads that click as I count each one like sheep in my mind until I finally fall asleep.
Thank you.
So I'll start off with the basics here. My name is Ingrid Tim. I'm a senior at Oconomowoc High School, and next year I will be attending St. Norbert College in Napier, Wisconsin. I will be majoring in elementary education, but I have a deep love for the outdoors, so that might lead to a biology minor. I love to travel and plan on doing a lot of it during college through study abroad programs and such. I know the things I love, and I trust that once I graduate, I will be able to find many different ways to express my passions in the real world. I would also like to say thank you. There are a lot of people in my life that I have to thank for how I've turned out, but that might take a while, so all the people who's here today. My parents and this church. This church has been amazing. I've been going to it pretty much since the beginning of my existence, and I'm proud to call it my church. Everyone here is open and welcoming, and I am grateful for that. The religious education I got from here was perfectly unique. I don't know of any other church that their curriculum is to teach kids about all of the other religions in the world and discuss a wide range of topics through Socrates Cafe, or to show them how to become calm through meditation and focus through Tai Chi. Plus, I have gotten to know a lot of amazing people who I know have impacted my life. At this point, I would like to give a shout out to Mrs. Sandin, who was my mentor this year. Thank you for everything that you have done. I have greatly enjoyed spending time with you. I also have to thank my parents. They are the ones who started taking me to this church. My parents have been influential in helping me figure out who I am and what I believe. Not once have they tried to impose beliefs on me. They have always been accepting and welcoming about anything I believe. They've helped me discover what I care about as well through all the discussions that we have had throughout my childhood, though at times I think some of them were a little over my head. And the introductions to programs like NPR. I know when I was a kid I did not appreciate it, but now I guess I can see the point to talk radio. When deciding my faith, I realized pretty fast that there wasn't much point to putting a label on it. It would just end up being some really hard-to-pronounce mashup of all the religions. If we're going to stick to the basics, my statement would be something kind of like this. I can't believe in a God because I need proof, and so far I haven't seen enough to make me believe. Plus, I'm not sure I really want to believe in one. I believe in science, and so far that has done me well. I can't decide on religions because I think they're too cookie-cutter, and people aren't like that, although UU does a pretty good job of avoiding that. I think relying on a heaven is a bad idea because if it turns out there isn't one, I would like to be happy with my time here on Earth. But not existing at all after I die is too big and scary of a thought for me, so I try to not dwell on that subject. Overall, this is a pretty good overview of my faith, but you don't really get to know me very well. Just because those topics are what seem to be what defines faith most of the time, I think those are kind of black and white and boring. I think knowing who someone is much more important. It gives you a sense of their soul. This belief is the reason I am so in love with a quote from Audrey Hepburn. She said, "I believe in pink. I believe that laughing is the best calorie burner. I believe in kissing a lot. I believe in being strong when everything seems to be going wrong. I believe that happy girls are the prettiest girls. I believe that tomorrow is another day, and I believe in miracles." Although this quote says nothing about spirituality, I feel like it's a statement of her faith, what she is and what she believes in and who she is. This quote has inspired me to write my statement of faith in a similar way. So here it goes. I believe in being kind. I believe that nature is healing, sun is the best medicine, and music can inspire you to do anything. I believe that fireflies and stars are two of the greatest gifts this world has to offer, and that you have to forgive. I believe watching clouds is an acceptable pastime, and you should bring a book everywhere you go. I believe in confidence, loving yourself, and that hair is meant to be played with. I believe fresh flowers can drive away sadness, and that people are lovable. But most importantly, I believe that this life is worth every ounce of spirit you have in you. Thank you.
I first joined LCUC in fifth grade. The first service I went to was the one where the kids leave and make gingerbread houses during Christmas time. This was probably the perfect introduction for me for this church. My previous religious experiences had been Catholic school and being dragged to church each week, like a different church each week. This was awesome. There were lots of kids, candy, and fun. Most noticeably, God was never mentioned. From an early age, I doubted the stories that were taught as absolute truth. This, along with the fact that I was a know-it-all and couldn't stop talking, was a recipe for an irritated Catholic school teacher. At the time, I religiously carried around a small pocket encyclopedia and backed up all my ideas with facts. This soon became an issue that resulted in my having absolutely no interest in returning to Catholic school for second grade. This theme of not conforming to what the masses believed in has been an overarching idea through my life. I learned to leave religion alone as a topic, and it caused lots of problems relating to my peers. This was accentuated by being an only child and mainly being around adults. I was kind of lonely and awkward during elementary school. However, when I came to LCUC, I knew I'd found a spiritual home. This church has helped to guide me on the path of understanding. I have learned a lot about myself and my beliefs through all the unique experiences and conversations at LCUC. Since I have joined this church, I've learned, but I by no means know exactly what I believe in. Here are some answers that I've come up with in my spiritual search. I believe in a power, not necessarily a higher power, but ones that runs the universe as a benevolent force and manifests in karma, luck, and fate. I would love to believe in reincarnation, but not as like a general sense. Maybe in some cases, if someone feels they cannot leave the earth, they're like tethered to a person or an event. But I can't actually believe in an afterlife either, because I've seen no proof of that, because no one can really return. I believe that humans are products of their environments and the people around them. They're not inherently good or evil. I believe that I feel called to perform and insight emotional experiences. In the past, I've done this as a dancer, but now I perform as part of a band, an orchestra, or as a soloist. Part of the reason I perform is a feeling of accomplishment for myself, but also if I can make someone else happy through my performances, then I'm happy. Inversely, if I do not perform well, I feel as though I've let people down and I'm slightly embarrassed. I believe that this church is a place of free thought and exploration, growth, and spiritual connection. Next year, you will find me at the University of Minnesota, Twin Cities, studying music as an oboe performance major. And I want to thank everyone in the congregation for being supportive and genuine and caring.
The fireworks rush out to watch the sky. Happy go lucky 4th of July.
How can you live in the Northeast?
How can you live in the South?
How can you build on the banks of a river when the flood water pours from the mouth?
How can you be a Christian?
How can you be a Jew?
How can you be a Muslim, a Buddhist, a Hindu?
How can you? Because the winter sun, we enter life on earth. Names and religions come just after date of birth. And everybody gets a tongue to speak. And everyone hears an inner voice. A day at the end of the week to wonder and rejoice. And if the answer is infinite light, why do we sleep in the dark?
How can you live in the Northeast?
How can you live in the South?
How can you build on the banks of a river when the flood water pours from the mouth?
How can you tattoo your body?
Why do you cover your head?
How can you eat from a rice bowl? A holy man only breaks bread.
Ooh. We watched the fireworks till they were fireflies. Followed a path of stars over the endless skies. How can you live in the northeast?
How can you live in the south?
How can you build on the banks of a river when the flood water pours from the mouth, from the
Okay, so when I first wrote this faith statement, I started off with an introduction about how hard writing it was, but I hadn't actually written it all yet. So after I wrote it, I figured out that writing the statement wasn't as hard as I'd made it out to be. It was pretty, well, it was a little bit scary, but I've probably done harder things in my life. I can tell you that the thought of giving this speech has always terrified me, and there are a lot of people here, so this is kind of scary. But even last year, I was pretty worried about this speech, and for the past month or so, I've put off writing it, since it just seemed like a really hard task. But about a week ago, while I was procrastinating and had to pick between writing this and watching a 3-hour interpretation of Hamlet, I decided it was time to start writing. That's where I began to feel lost. I looked over a list of questions that Amy had sent me. It was one that I looked over before, but I felt I still had very few concrete answers to any of the questions it posed. Then I realized that LCUUC has an archive of previous services online, and after listening to all of last year's faith statements, I came to the conclusion that very few seniors feel confident about writing a faith statement. So somehow realizing that I was not the only senior terrified to give this speech made me feel a little better, and I turned to my final resource, the Belief-O-Matic quiz from beliefnet.com. For those of you who don't know, the quiz claims to tell you your ideal religion if you answer 20 simple multiple-choice questions. Although I didn't think the quiz would be incredibly helpful, it actually was, so I'm apparently 96% UU. I'm not sure what that other 4% is, but... most of the answers I selected on the quiz read something along the lines of an answer relevant to the question, followed by, or not sure, or not important, so being UU makes sense. So this brought me to our 7 core principles, which, like so many others, I had to look up. I honestly can say that I agree with those ideas that the principles embody. My favorites are probably recognizing the goal of world community and the one about respecting the interdependent web of all existence. After having reviewed those principles, I went back to those really big and scary questions that Amy had given me. Many of them were questions I actually began to grapple with long before I saw Amy's list. A lot of my searching started last year when I was an exchange student for a semester in Chile. Shortly before my departure, I was told that I would be attending an all-girls Catholic school. So I had to learn to be accepting and open-minded of other people's beliefs while still searching for my own. A lot of people were asking me what I believed in, and all I could think of was what I really didn't believe in. So I can tell you that I'm definitely not a Catholic, nor do my beliefs align with most major world religions, and I don't think that any problems will be solved with hatred. Over the past year, though, I have become slightly more sure of what I believe in. I'm still kind of unsure of my opinion on a higher power. I don't really believe in some sort of deity or that there is necessarily an afterlife, but I do believe that we are all connected to each other and that there are some things that science simply cannot or has yet to explain. Regardless of anyone's belief in a higher power, I believe that everyone should be treated fairly and with love, but I know that I often have a very hard time doing that. I believe that often actions speak louder than words, but that intentions tend to speak the loudest of all. I believe that humans are inherently good, but that doesn't mean that we aren't selfish. I believe that sometimes honesty isn't the best policy, but that it usually is, and I probably should be a lot more honest.
I feel called towards creating a better and more equal world through social justice, and I know that to better understand exactly what I do believe in, I need to explore the world around me. I want to hike through beautiful valleys, climb mountains, learn languages, and meet, learn from, and help different people. I want to experience the beauties that both the natural world and human societies have to offer. Next year, I will be backpacking through South America, exploring different cultures and continuing on my spiritual journey. After that, I plan to attend University of Denver in Colorado to study international relations. I'd like to thank my parents for bringing me here when I was little and supporting me as I grew up. I'm not sure how you managed to raise me, but the fact that you haven't killed me yet is pretty impressive. I'd like to thank all of my friends and classmates in the youth group, from crazy con planning to the 100-degree kitchen at the Valentine's dinner, to having some really great discussions. We've all had awesome times growing up together, and you've all helped me become who I am. I'd like to thank my mentor, Chris White, who's in Florida right now. We've had a really great year getting to know each other and playing the ukulele. And lastly, I'd like to thank everyone here at LCUUC. I understand that throughout my lifetime, my beliefs and perceptions of the world will change, but over the past 12 years, you've given me a great start on my journey. Thank you.
As I sat down to write this speech, I had 1,000 questions running through my head. What do I believe in? Why do I exist, and do I exist? Are there even answers to these questions? So I did what any normal human being would do, and what several people have already talked about doing. I Googled it. Okay, Google, what do I believe? The first thing that came up was the aforementioned Belief-O-Matic What Do I Believe faith quiz. Perfect. After that point, everything was good for a while. I answered the first couple questions without too much trouble. Then suddenly I realized there was a problem. Like Sarah, I didn't actually know any of the answers. I don't know. Unsure. Not applicable? Finally, I finished, and I was surprised to see I got a 100% match. With Unitarian Universalism. I could not have been more furious. You've got to be kidding me. All this time I've been told to search and find my own truth, but I just came back to exactly where I started. What does it even mean to be 100% UU? My interconnected web of life is especially interconnected? Not soon after that, however, I realized that perhaps I could use this to my advantage. I guess I already aced this faith statement thing. I got 100%. For those keeping track, that's 4% more than Sarah Stout. Not to brag or anything. For me, being Unitarian Universalist means being willing to think critically about my faith and consistently respecting those around me. While both of those ideas are important to me, I put great emphasis on the latter. I believe it is of the utmost importance to take into consideration the needs and wants of others in the decisions you make. As idealistic as it sounds, I believe in changing the world, but I also believe in doing the little things that you can to improve the lives of those around you. Like many people in this room, I do not believe in the idea of a God as some old white guy sitting on a cloud directing everything that happens in the universe. Still, I believe that there's more to life than the obvious, tangible, physical reality. For me, this is the feeling of meaningful connection with those other people and the world around you. It's the idea that we are all part of one united, interconnected being. Thus, my sense of spirituality revolves around music, volunteering, and nature, which allow me to see myself as part of something greater. I don't believe in a creator God of any sort. Rather, I believe in probability and random chance, which allowed for life to develop and continue to change. Still, I believe this random chance is also what allows for truly awful things to happen in the world. Just as the first cell was eventually created after an incalculable number of interactions between the necessary atoms and molecules, some horrible and improbable things happen simply because there's a chance that they could. While I don't believe that things happen for a reason, I believe that every experience can be seen in a positive light. And with psychological safety nets like Rosie Retrospection, chances are you'll be okay in the end. So I guess, despite my immediate fury after taking the Belief-O-Matic quiz, I do agree that I'm Unitarian Universalist. Still not sure about the 100% part, but to be honest, that unwillingness to accept absolutes might make me even more UU. I don't know. Next year, I will be attending Pomona College in California and studying something which may or may not include earth science, environmental studies, international relations, chemistry, music, art, any other subjects you could name. I'd like to thank my wonderful mentor, Kim Sewer, for helping me on this journey and always being there to support me. But I agreed not to look at her because we'll both start crying. Kim, you're the best. I would also like to thank my family for everything and the entire congregation for being my home and some of my best friends for the past, I had 13, but I guess it's 15 years of my life. I can't imagine life without this church. Thank you all for everything.
Forgiveness For the things I've done, you blamed me for.
But then I guess we know there's blame to share.
And none of it seems to matter anymore. Like a comet pulled from orbit as it passes the sun. Like a stream that meets a boulder halfway through the wood. Who can say if I've been changed for the better?
I do believe I have been changed for the better. And because I knew you.
Because I knew you.
Because I knew you. I have been changed for
powerful. The whole service, you guys. Thanks so much for sharing with us today. Makes me want to be 18 again. I've said that for a while. Your reflections are really inspiring to us as adults and as well as the children here at church. So what you've said and what you've done has made a difference, and we thank you for that. And thanks for sharing also the items that have been important to you. I'm just going to briefly point these out, you guys. So Alexis's toe shoes, Ingrid's atlas, Maya's little book that she's carried around with her of quotes by women since before she could read. This is really precious. And her trumpet, which has also been ditched. Is that right? Jessica's footprints with her sister Teresa's footprints here, and they're surrounded by this poem that gives a really positive outlook on life. We've got Abby's baby blanket that's been used a little bit, it looks like. Someone said maybe because she was 10 years old. I don't know. Rich would probably use his if I let him still. And then this is a book that Abby got from someone on the street in Cuba, worn as it is right like this, of mythology, Cuban mythology, in Spanish, by the way. So, and a painting she did of a flower. And then Will's, with the Iron Giant, he said it's the best kids, animated kids movie ever. So we have to watch that. So thank you. I'd like to recognize our seniors and mentors officially. And Claire's going to help me, who's been their youth advisor this year. So come up when your name's called, if you would. William Esty and his mentor, Phil Smith. And stay up here, Will, if you would. Just find a Jessica Kennedy with Laura Levenhagen. Abigail Lewis and Kim Sewer. Ingrid Tim and Kristen Sandin. Maya Sandin and Terry Copeland. Sarah Stout and Chris White in spirit. And Alexis Vargas, and all of us as her mentor. So mentors, I want to thank you very much for all you've done and all that you've been for our seniors this year. I'm sure you've learned as much from them as they've learned from you, and that your friendships will be lifelong. We've given our seniors some gifts. I don't know if one of you could just open up and show them. We've got the famous LCUUC chalice with our logo on it. May it burn brightly to remind you of all of us who hold you near and dear. You can take it if you go away to college. You can take it with you. And this year we're giving them a new book. It's called Becoming, A Spiritual Guide for Navigating Adulthood, put out by the UUA. It's a compilation of essays, poems, and prayers written by young adult UUs. Actually, a lot of what you call faith statements are in here, and a lot of other sources. Yeah, I didn't give it to them before, you guys. So yeah, now we give it to them. And I'd like to conclude with a few words from this book called Beyond Borders. It's a poem written by Rick Hoyt. Go forth, because we are always going forth from somewhere, going from our homes, our childhoods, going from our cities and countries, going from innocence to experience to enlightenment, going into mystery and questions, going into the desert and getting to the other side. Go forth, leave behind the comfort and community of one place, head into the anxiety and loneliness of another. Carry with you the love and laughter of this place, and let it light your way. Carry with you the wisdom you learned and the good memories. May they give you strength for your journey. And when you have been away long enough, far enough, done what you'd set off to do, been there so long that that place too starts to feel like home, come back. Come back to the one universal everywhere and every when and every one inclusive home. This beloved community of all creation that you can never really leave. Thank you. Let's give them a big round of applause. To sing one last song for the seniors, so let's now have a seat and
Take a look. Take a look around. We're gonna watch you
Our closing words today come from Richard S. Gilbert. As we leave this community of the Spirit, may we remember the difficult lesson that each day offers more things than we can do. May we do what needs to be done, postpone what does not, and be at peace with what we can be and do. Therefore, may we learn to separate that which matters most and that which matters least of all.